God laid this message on my heart, and you might think, and I honestly think, it's just one of those typical messages maybe you would hear after a camp, but it's something that really is just so true that we constantly need to be reminded of. So if you would, look with me at the book of James, chapter number 1. We'll read a couple of verses here. I'll say a word of prayer, and then we'll get to the preaching time, and I'll try to let you guys out as soon as possible. But look at James with me, if you would. James, chapter number 1. And I've entitled this message tonight, The Blessed Life. The Blessed Life. And I know many of us in here would love to live the blessed life. Well, tonight I hope this would be an encouragement to you, and I want to share with you from God's Word how you and I can live the blessed life. Let's look at James chapter number 1. If you would, look with me at verse number 22. James chapter number 1 and verse number 22. The Bible says this, But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers. What's the next word? Only. Only hearers. Deceiving, the Bible says, your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be, what's the next word, church? Blessed. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Yes, let's pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you again so much for all the teens and for the safety provided throughout this week and the bus driving and the preaching and so many things, God, just to be thankful for. I know we can all just make a list. And so, God, as we're here tonight, I pray that you just use me and help me to speak with clarity, God. I know exactly what it is you put on my heart and you've spoken to me about, God. Now, I pray that your Holy Spirit, your Comforter, you promise, who will guide us into all truth, would be illuminating the Word of God in our hearts. And I just pray that this would be a blessing, an encouragement, and really a challenge to our church and our teens here tonight and myself. And we'll give you glory for that. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So tonight, as I mentioned this morning, tonight I want to talk about, as we just heard here, being a doer of the word. And as you see here at the end of this verse here that we just read, being a doer of the word is what's really, in summarization, going to cause us, you and I, to live what we call a blessed life. A blessed life. Now, unfortunately, the reality of this is that I really believe that there are a lot of what the verse says there in James chapter 1, deceived Christians today, deceived people today who sit in churches. We have many who believe that going to church, listen to me, we have many who believe that simply going to church and listening to a Sunday morning and an evening message is what's going to change their life. We have many deceived Christians who think that if I just attend church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, maybe even Wednesday, and just listen, my life should be changed. And honestly, I think that we sometimes even think that camp is going to change our lives. But listen to me, church, it's not. Camp doesn't change lives, and neither does listening to the Word of God. And you might be confused, but apparently, according to what God's Word says, it's doing what the Bible says. That's what's going to change somebody's life. Because you can hear a great message outside of camp. You can hear a great message in different churches. And the Bible makes it clear that the person who does what he hears is going to have the life that's blessed. And tonight, God is reminding me that applying what you hear is really what's going to change our lives, church. It's applying and doing what you hear that's really genuinely going to change our lives. I mean, think about this for a second. What good is the gospel if you don't put your faith in it? I mean, we can have a Sunday morning service and preach the most clear gospel presentation, but if an unbeliever does not apply his faith into the Lord Jesus Christ, what good is it? There is nothing good. What good is the gospel if you don't put your faith in it? We know Romans 13 says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But that's hearing. Hearing the word of God. And again, even though the faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, it's really going to be someone placing their full trust and faith into the gospel for it to actually change their life. Listening to the gospel never changed anybody's life. It's placing their trust, full 100% trust, in Jesus Christ. It's not listening it. But hearing the gospel, again, isn't going to change your life, but putting your faith in it will. Now, think about this. I did my own calculations here, okay? I just looked on my phone and swiped through Google Calendar as I have, and I just was counting these things, and I just double-checked everything. Now, here's what I calculated. Think about this, okay? There are 52 Sundays in 1 year, okay? 365 days in a year, right? And we go week by week. There are 52 Sundays in 1 year, okay? And not only are there 52 Sundays in 1 year, there are also 52 Wednesdays in 1 year. Okay? Now think about this. If you were to attend Faithfully Church and you went to a Sunday morning service and then a Sunday evening service for a full year and you were faithful to church just on Sunday, that means, church, in 1 year you and I would have listened and heard 104 messages. Think about that for a second. For 1 year. If you went to church faithfully, and we all should, amen? But if you went to church faithfully, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, that's two messages in one day. For 1 year, that means all of us, if we're faithful, would have heard 104 sermons. Now, if you attend Wednesday church, that's an extra additional 52 sermons, because we know there's one message, one sermon preached on Wednesday evening services. So altogether, if you and I are faithful to church as we should be, that means that you and I would have heard at least, because that's not including revivals and guest preachers and different things that we got, right? That's just basic Sunday for a year and Wednesday. And altogether, if you and I were faithful every Wednesday, every Sunday, that means we all would have heard at least in 1 year, 156 sermons. 156 sermons. Next year, if you're faithful to church, you're going to hear 156 sermons. Now, I was doing this and God just laid it on my heart, and here's the convicting question that I asked myself. This is the question. Out of the 156 sermons and messages that we heard last year, how many of those messages have I obeyed and applied to my life? Church, I ask you the same question. After the 156 sermons and messages that you heard because you were faithful to church last year, how many of those messages and sermons have you actually obeyed and applied to your life? I'm not asking you how many of those you heard. Everybody hears these messages. You can just be in church and listen to a message. But how many of those messages out of the 156 messages did you and I actually obey and apply to our lives? We tell ourselves that if we want to live a blessed life today, we want to live a blessed life. We tell us, I want to live a life that's blessed. I want God's blessing on my life. But we never allow God's word to have free course in our lives. How do we expect that? How do we expect to live a life full of blessings if we never apply what we hear? If we never allow God to tell us, no, this is how not to do it. This is what I want you to do, and accept that and change our lives from it. How do we expect to live a life that's blessed if we never do such a thing? It's never going to happen. I truly believe that many Christians today, many Christians, are content with filling a pew in the church and simply being known as a hearer of God's word. Now listen to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but reading through this Bible, nowhere do I ever see God calling hearers. God doesn't need people to listen to His word. God doesn't just sit here and call, I need more people to sit in the pew to listen to the preacher. God doesn't call people who listen. God never wants somebody who just hears and is on the sideline. And we can't tell ourselves, church, we can't tell ourselves that our job, my job as a Christian, my duty as a Christian, is to simply listen to the preacher. Nowhere does the Bible say that. But you know what the Bible says? We need doers of the word. We need a congregation and people and Christians who not just listen to what the preacher has to say, but apply it to their life and change drastically, radically in their actions. That's what's going to cause someone to live what we call the blessed life. And if you're ever going to live the blessed life, listen, if you're ever going to live a life that's blessed in your deed, like the Bible says there in James 1:25, then you must, church, we all must transition from being a hearer of the word to a doer of the word. You hear that? If you want to live a blessed life, you must transition. It's never going to happen for you unless you transition from just being someone who hears God's word and someone else who actually applies and obeys and does what God wants them to do. And teens, I say the same thing to you, teens. Just hearing a week of great camp messages isn't going to change your life. You hear me, teens? Just hearing Pastor Joel Bixler preach some amazing messages, and they were, by the way, but just hearing those isn't going to change your life. What's going to change your life is when you come home and you start applying what you heard. That's what's going to change your life. Anybody could sit under a message and listen to it. But what's really going to change your life, teens, is applying what you just heard this last week. That's what's going to change your life. Don't be forgetful here and forget everything you just heard this last week. Because I know I'm very forgetful. But the Bible says apply what you hear. For just a brief moment, I have a lot of scriptures here and I have them all here. So I'm just going to read them. I'm not going to ask you to turn there. But if you're taking notes, you can write down references. I want to show you just several more verses about how much God emphasizes being a doer of the word and not simply just a hearer. Somebody who just listens. Matthew chapter number 7 verse 21 states this. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Did you hear that? Not everyone that goes before God and says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that, what? Does the will of God. There's the action. Matthew chapter 7 verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. You see, the Bible says that you're a wise man if you hear the word of God and you do the word of God. You're wise if you do the word of God. Now, Matthew chapter 7 verse 26, just a couple of verses down, says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, the Bible says here, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. So the Bible says you're wise if you listen to the word of God and apply it to your life and obey it. But you're a fool if all you do is listen to sermons. That's what the Bible says. I'm not making that up. You're a fool if all you do is sit here and listen to great messages and leave the same. You're a fool. You're building your house on sand. It's no wonder that when storms come in your life, as the Bible says, and rains descend, that your life crumbles because there's no foundation. You never apply what you hear. And so the Bible says to you that you're wise, again, if you not just listen, but you apply and you do the Word of God. Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 31, if you're writing down references, says this. Again, Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 31 says this. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, Likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. And Jesus asked this question, which of those two did the will of God? The one who said I was going to do it, or the one who actually did it? Now, it's common sense, right? But church, isn't that so relatable today that so many people say, Lord, I'll go, and they never went? So many people who listen to the word of God, Lord, I'll change, and they never change. Who really is doing the will of God? The person that just says, I'm going to change, or the person who changes? Who really is doing the will of God? It's the person who applies what they just heard. It's not the person who says, I'm going to change. It's not the person who comes and listens every Sunday and says, I've heard every message. It's the person who applies it that does the will of God. It's not just the person who sits and listens to the messages. Which of them did the will of God? Which of them did the will of his Father? They say unto him, the first. And Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Wow, that was pretty harsh for Jesus to say it to the Pharisees. But you get that context. And the question again was, which one, remember, did the will? Not which one heard me tell them, right? Not which of my sons told me. No. Which one of those two did the will of God? The one who says, I'll go, or the one who went? Because all of us like to say, I'll go, but we never go. And it's the one who goes that fulfills James chapter 1, verse 25. You become then a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. We have churches all around America who are filled with these two kinds of Christians that I just put down here. Two kinds of Christians today, church. Number one, we have Christians who say they will do God's will. Okay, those who say they will do God's will. And number two, those who actually do God's will. Those are two kinds of Christians we have in churches today. Those who say, I'll do God's will. And then we have another who actually does what God wants them to do. And I can tell you the latter is what God wants. It doesn't matter how many of us have holy intentions and holy plans and say, I'm going to do this. It doesn't matter if you never do it. You got to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. Many who hear God's word, they're grateful for it, but guess what? They're none the better. You heard great messages, but you're none the better because you never applied what you've been listening to. Listening to a great message, again, church, won't change you, but applying it and doing it will. Now, if you want to live a blessed life, then do God's word. Do God's will for your life. And I just want to encourage you tonight with three thoughts about being a doer of the word and living a blessed life. Now, here are my 3 points. Please stay with me, church. I really want to get through all of this. So think about this. There are 3 things, okay? 3 points I'm making tonight. Number one is, when am I to be a doer of God's word? When am I to be a doer of God's word? Number two, where am I to be a doer of God's word? And number three, how am I to be a doer of God's word? Here's thought number one. Point number one. Number one, when should I become a doer of the word? Anybody have any guesses? Today. Today is the answer. When should I become a doer of God's word? And I know you might think, well, that's kind of... Listen, when should I become a doer of God's word? Look back with me at James chapter number 1. Look back with me at James chapter number 1. Look with me at verse number 25. It says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and the Bible says here, and what? Continueth therein. Every blessed Christian, listen to me, every blessed Christian had a day that they can look back and say, that's when I started doing God's will. Every blessed Christian has a day they can look, that's the day that I started doing and not just hearing. You see, in order to, what the Bible says here, to continue therein, in order to continue in God's way, you have to have started in God's way. You understand that? You can't continue in something you've never started. And what better day to start doing God's will than today? I'm not even talking about tomorrow, which I'm going to get to in just a second. What better day to start than today? Jesus said in John chapter number 9 and verse number 4, I must work the works. You listen to that? Work, work, doing. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Why? Because the night cometh when no man can work. You see, Jesus stressed the importance of doing God's will while it was the day. He didn't put anything off ready for tomorrow. Why? Because we're not promised tomorrow, church. None of you should resolve to say, listen, I'll start doing what God wants me to do tomorrow. Because you don't know if you even have tomorrow. You better just start doing God's will as soon as you leave from the doors. You don't even know if we have 5 hours, 3, 2, the rapture. And praise the Lord for the rapture, but it can happen in the next hour. Look at James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4, real quickly, since we're in the book of James. James chapter number 4, look with me at verse number 13. James chapter 4, verse 13. The Bible says this. James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. And it says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. I'm sure that the disciples noticed the urgency that Jesus lived with. He understood Jesus, and if you read the Gospels, you can tell. Remember when he started preaching about the kingdom of heaven? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's so urgent. Repent today. Get saved today. Not tomorrow. Don't start doing God's will tomorrow. It's today. Today's the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in this day, not tomorrow, because you're not promised tomorrow. Focus on what the time that you have. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 150, in verse number 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. See, the Bible says here, praise them while you have breath in your lungs. Why? Live for him while you have breath in you. Because, church, every one of us, listen to me, one day, every one of us will take our last breath and we won't be able to do anything anymore. It'll be too late. And so God says, as you have breath in you, you do God's will now. Today, while you can, because you don't know what's happening tomorrow. So that means that by the time we dismiss from church, whatever God's been putting on your heart, teens, you do it as soon as you leave these doors. Because you have breath in you right now and you know it. You don't know how much longer you're going to have it though. You don't know how much longer you're going to have it. I've been reading a book written by J.C. Ryle. It's called Thoughts for Young Men. And I just want to share a quote from this book real quickly. It's really, really good. And if you're taking notes, I hope you can write it down. Or if you want it, I can send it to you. This is what he said. He said, tomorrow is the devil's day, but today is God's. Listen to me, teens. Listen very closely, teens. It's the same quote. Satan does not care how spiritual your intentions are, teens. Satan does not care how holy your resolutions might be, like you just made at camp, so long as they are fixed for tomorrow. Did you get that? Tomorrow is the devil's day, but today is God's. Satan does not care how spiritual your intentions are or how holy your resolutions might be, so long as they are fixed for tomorrow. Teens, not everybody lives to be like Isaac and Jacob. David mourned the death of his two finest sons. Job lost all of his 10 children in one day, and your experience can be just like theirs. When death calls, it's going to be useless, church, to talk of tomorrow. Do God's will today for your life. Teens, listen to me. If you made a decision to read your Bible, don't start Monday. Start tonight. Did you hear that? If you didn't read your Bible, listen to me. If you made a decision to read your Bible, don't start tomorrow. Start tonight. Start while you know you have breath in you. You understand that? Tomorrow's the devil's day. You don't know if you have it, so do God's will while you can, while it is day. That's what the Bible teaches. Start doing God's will today, and today you'll start experiencing the blessed life. Number two, and I'll move on quickly here. Where? So again, when are we to do God's will? Today, right now. Where? Everywhere. Look at verse number 24. We'll go back to James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1 and verse number 24. Where are we to be doers of God's word? Where? Everywhere. Verse number 24. Look what it says in verse 24. James 1, 24. For he beholdeth himself, and what? Goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You see, when this man, according to the scripture, was next to the mirror, which is the word of God, he was okay. But as soon as he went into another area where that mirror wasn't there, he forgot everything and failed to fix his life and do what he heard. You say, what's your point? Here's my point. It's easy to be a Christian in church. It's easy to be Christ-like in church, teens. It's easy to be a Christian when people are watching you. It's easy to be a Christian when your youth pastor is around. It's easy to be a Christian when the youth pastor's wife, young ladies, is around. It's easy to be a Christian when the mirror is in front of you. It's easy to be a Christian when you're in church. But how Christ-like are you when you're at home? How Christ-like are you when you're at work? It is for everybody. How Christ-like are you when you are at home? When you're away from the mirror? When you don't have the Word of God maybe in your pocket? Because that's what the Bible says here. He was next to the mirror, but as soon as he went away, he failed. He messed up. Because it's so easy to be a Christian in church. But how Christ-like are you when you're at home? How Christ-like are you when you're at work? We are not called to be just the doers only at church, but we're called to be doers of the word everywhere, not just at church. It's easy to be a Christian in church, but we're not called to be just Christians in church. We're called to be Christians outside of it too. Teens, if you surrender to be a missionary, don't wait until you go to a foreign country or another state. Start being a missionary right here. Be a doer of God's word right here. Some of you said, I surrendered to missions. You don't need to wait to a foreign field. You see, the Bible says, be a doer of His word here. You can be a missionary right here in Ocala, Florida. Come soul winning. And so many of you, praise the Lord, you've been so faithful. Keep it up. Come soul winning. Start being a missionary right here in Ocala, Florida, or even in your own neighborhood. Start doing God's word right here where you are, and you'll start living the blessed life. Keep doing God's will outside of church. Don't get stuck wishing you were back at camp, teens. I know what that's like. Don't get stuck wishing you're back at camp. If I was at camp, then I could really start doing God's word instead of just hearing it. It's just an excuse we give ourselves. You see, the camp was your mirror, and now you've entered to the place where it counts, home. This is where it counts. It's a lot easier to be a Christian at camp, teens. We know that. But this is where it counts. You're at home now. Don't have the testimony of this person. As soon as he left the mirror, maybe camp, as soon as he left camp, he forgot everything he learned. He just forgot every decision he made. Don't have that testimony. Start doing God's will today. And lastly, number three, how? how are we to be doers of God's will? Well, with all your might. Look at verse number 25. We're almost done here. It says this in verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but it says here, but a doer of what? The work. A doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. And I wrote here, how are we to be doers of God's word? With all your might, be a doer of the work. That's exactly what the Christian life takes, church, right there. Work. A doer of what? The work. That's exactly what the Christian life takes, is work. My uncle used to tease us growing up a lot. My uncle used to come to us, guys, young men, and he used to look at us and say, hey guys, you don't just wake up looking this good, boys. It takes work. That's what he used to say to us all the time. You don't just wake up looking this pretty, guys. And he'd say that all the time. It takes work. It takes work to look this good. He'd always just be teasing us. And listen to me. You don't just wake up receiving a blessed life. Sometimes God is gracious, but it doesn't just come to you, church. Teens, it's not going to just happen. You don't just wake up and receive a blessed life. It takes work. A doer of the work, the Bible says here. Galatians chapter number 6, 6 through 10 says this. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in what? Well doing. There it is again. Doing. Doing. Don't get tired of it. You just keep doing. And you keep doing. Why? Because in due season you're going to reap if you don't faint. You keep going and you keep going. You say, but it's just tired. I've read my Bible for the month of July. Now I have to start August. Keep going. Don't faint. Keep going. It's going to reap. You will reap. You will reap what you sow. And the Bible says here, as we have therefore opportunity, let us, there it is again, do. Let us do. Not let us hear. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Don't be half in this thing or you'll get half out. Teens, you hear me? Don't be half in this thing or you're going to get half out. That's not how the Christian life works. You can't expect to just put a little bit of yourself in this and get a lot out. That's not how it works. Don't be half in or you'll get half out. You will always reap exactly what you sow. If you pour yourself into God's work, you're going to get much out of it. You hear me, teens? If you pour yourself into this, you'll get a ton out of it. But don't expect a life filled with blessings if you're not willing to do God's will with all of your might. Proverbs 13:4, almost done. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Laziness, in other words, will leave you empty-handed, but diligence will fill your life with blessings. You can't be lazy in the Christian life. It'll never get you anywhere. Laziness has ruined the lives of so many Christians. So many are deceived into thinking that hearing is all it takes, church. So many Christians want all the blessings of God without the work. I want God to bless me, but I'm not going to put the work in. You'll get exactly what you reap, or what you sow. You'll reap exactly what you sow. However much you'll put in is however much you're going to get out. But don't expect to be putting a little bit in and for God to just fill your life with blessings. You have to be a doer of the word. As we have therefore opportunity, the Bible says, take every opportunity to do and to practice God's word. Come to church every time the doors are open, teens. Come to church. Come to Sunday morning, evening service. Come to Wednesday at Central Baptist Church. As Mr. Carpenter said, serve. There are plenty of opportunities to serve here and to do with all your might. Do God's will with all your might if you want to see God's greatest blessings for your life. And last verse here I finish off on. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9 and verse number 10 says this. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Why? Again, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you're going. You're going to die one day, teens. Church, we're all going to die. And it'll be too late to give your all when you're dead. So give it now. Give it today. When should you be a doer of God's word? Right now, today, as soon as you leave that door. Where? Everywhere. Not just inside a church. And how? With all your might. You put all yourself into it. Now, here's some questions as we close. Number one, when do you plan on becoming a doer of the word and not a hearer only? When do you plan on starting what God has for your life, teens? Tomorrow? Don't wait. Where have you been a doer of God's word? In church only? Do you plan on being a Christian outside these walls? And then last questions here. Number three, how are you doing God's word and will for your life? How much are you putting in into your faith. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you so much. I know it's been a longer night, God, with everything going on, but I'm just so thankful for this church and for the teens and for their patience. God, I just pray that you bless this time now.